Hare Krishna. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur. An event that amongst the disappearance of all other Vaishnavas in our Vaishnava lineage is chronicled in more detail than that of any other. I can't remember right now, certainly not in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the disappearance of a Vaishnav is given more time. I won't say that is not significant, but certainly in terms of time and space in our literature, certainly the disappearance of Haridas Thakur is unique, and in that sense we should consider that there must be some very special things that can be learned from that, which are applicable to many other great Vaishnavas, Vaishnavacharyas, whose disappearance day we also celebrate. Haridas Thakur is also known as Brahma Haridas because in his previous life or incarnation, he is Krishna's Leela. He is our Lord Brahma, the creator, the supreme Brahman, most wise and learned person. And it was that same Lord Brahma who tested Krishna's divinity, Krishna's mystic power, to see if it matched or surpassed his own, because he just couldn't believe that this little cowherd boy who plays ball, who runs here and there, who eats with his Vaishya friends, what's to speak of eating with them, who also eats the remnants of their food, can be the same Supreme Lord who's the establisher, who's very establisher of religious principles, Brahminical principles, and is the sort of most sober Lord Narayan. Although he had received information the effect that this is Lord Krishna, although Lord Brahma himself had actually prayed for Krishna to appear and was informed directly through his heart that the Lord would come with his associates, but he just couldn't really relate to this cowherd boy being that same supreme person to whom he prayed. This was because of the pride that comes from learning, devotional pride. Lord Brahma wasn't a proud, like a Hiranyakashipu or a Ravana, proud of his spiritual, his material strength, proud of his opulence, proud of his austerity. His pride was due to being the supreme Brahmin. Brahmanas are called so because they descend from Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, therefore, is the foremost Brahman, and his Brahmins are the leading figures in society. Then their origin, Lord Brahma, is the leading person in the universe. And yet, as intelligent as he is with his four heads, as capable of creation as he is, nonetheless, Lord Brahma could not understand the unlimited nature of the Lord. It was his pride that covered him. Actually, we should never really think that we can understand Krishna. No one can understand Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. But still, we can understand something of the Lord by his grace, but it requires that we remain humble and would exhibit the qualities of humility that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about. Vinarapi sunichina tarori vasishtana amanina mananina ketaniya sadahari. When Vaishnavas are proud of their learning, when they're proud of their spiritual advancement, when they're proud of their positions in society, then they lose their ability to really comprehend the extent of devotional service, truths of devotion, the truths regarding the Supreme Lord. Part of being a humble Vaishnava, Jiva Goswami points out, is that we accept the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord, which means inconceivable things relating to Him. And to think that we can grasp or we can fit Lord Krishna within our limited cranium is pride, it's false pride. And false pride is a very dangerous thing. As they say in the material world, pride before the fall. Pride causes one to fall down. And such was the case with Lord Brahma. The pastime, I won't retell, devotees know the pastime of Lord Brahma's bewilderment, how Krishna expanded himself, and ultimately revealed that the calves and cowherd boys that Brahma had stolen to test the Lord, how Krishna had expanded himself into all of those. And then Brahma, yes, came to the conclusion that others may say they know Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know. And that's where Bhagavatam ends, but Thakur Bhaktivinoda continues. We're celebrating Thakur Bhaktivinoda's appearance day yesterday. Thakur Bhaktivinoda continues that Lord Brahma had asked Krishna for a benediction. He was aware that he was going to be appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the not so too distant future, a few thousand years down the road. He says, but if I have to take birth, then please let me take birth in the lowest family. Please let me have the lowest birth. So here Brahma had the highest birth as the creator of the universe. Now as Brahma Haridas, Lord Brahma appeared as Haridas Thakur in a Yavana family, and he took the lowest birth, which would mean that although pure Vaishnavas would show him respect, but the general mass of people would not. For that reason, he would not be able to go into the Jagannath temple. And Brahminical culture, caste-conscious Brahmins, they would always keep a distance from him. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized Haridas Thakur as the acharya of the chanting of the holy name, even though he was born in such a low family. But by right association, Haridas Thakur developed affinity for chanting the holy name and became the acharya, chanting 192 rounds a day, taking a vow to do that. And doing that throughout all of his life. This was the service that was allotted to him. And because he was shunned by society, he would live in places like a cave where a poisonous snake would reside, or when he came to Jagannath Puri, then he could not live amongst people in general. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a spot under what is now the Siddhapakul tree. And Haridas Thakur lived there, chanted Hare Krishna. And from there he saw the chakra of Lord Jagannath, which was equal to, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing Lord Jagannath himself. And this duty of Haridas Thakur was unique to him. He was given the title Namacharya by the Lord because of his devotion to the holy name. The Lord would give different duties to different devotees, and he would expect them to execute those duties. To Rup Sanatan, he told him to excavate Vrindavan, to Ramananda Roy, he told him, give up your work and come and hear and chant about Krishna's pastimes with me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give different duties to different devotees, and he very much appreciated when those devotees actually executed their duties with devotion and stuck to those instructions. To Jiva Goswami, through Lord Nityananda, he instructed him to go to Varanasi, got trained up, and from there go on to Vrindavan to live under the shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And this was the way that Srila Prabhupada also expected his disciples. But Prabhupada complained that he found that sometimes his disciples were restless and they couldn't stick to one particular service, but they moved on to want him to do something else every other week or every other year. They wanted to do some other type of service, which obviously made it difficult to coordinate a Krishna conscious movement and to really depend on those individuals. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada very much appreciated when devotees were very dependable, when they were just told, okay, you do this service, and then that's it. They stuck and do that service for the rest of their life, or until they were told to do something different. Up until the time of this disappearance, Haridas Thakur stuck to his vow of chanting 192 rounds. Of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't require us to chant that many rounds, but he wanted us to work on chanting in the same quality that Haridas Thakur was, which is to chant purely. He wanted us to chant Krishna's names purely. And we see from Haridas Thakur, one of the lessons we learn from him is that by chanting Hare Krishna, one attains freedom from the influence of the material energy. The first lesson we learn is that one has to be very determined to chant, and I'll come back to that. And the second is that if one chants with such determination and purity, then the material energy cannot touch them. When the time finally came that Haridas Thakur wanted to leave his body, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit him. And, I'll come back to this point. I'd like to just elaborate on that other point. At one time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Haridas Thakur, then he described Haridas Thakur's glories, which is another chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in there it's described how Haridas Thakur was tempted by a prostitute. Now, one may not be that impressed, since more or less all of our devotees are tested by members of the opposite sex. Just when they go out on Sankirtan preaching in their day-to-day life. And that Haridas also remained aloof from that, one could say is understandable. However, not only did some prostitute try to tempt Haridas Thakur, whom he then delivered, but Maya Devi personally came to test him, material energy personified. So if we consider the sum total of all attractive feminine features, which is contained within the form and personality and characteristics of Maya Devi, that she came to test Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur was immune to her charms as well, as a result of which then he initiated her into the chanting of Lord Krishna's name.